Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was thinking about the small town that I grew up in, Libby, Montana, because as I said at the beginning of our worship today, we were talking about community, the community of the Triune God, but the we also have our own community, and as I share that community, I don't want anybody to say, oh, well, he's getting so old that all he's doing is thinking about the good old days, because I recognize that they are not the good old days, and no, there's no one period that's a good old days. But what I want us to think about is the change that has taken place over the last, I hate to say it, the last 70 years, at least for me. And that is that life slowly changed. When I was growing up, one of the things about the town that we lived in is there were no fences. You know, and, well, as kids, we roamed the entire town. We'd go in people's backyards and you know, race around. And the only time we'd get into trouble is if we started plucking apples off of trees, you know. But we could do that, and a lot of people just let you do that. And that's what I remember about that small town. The second thing the change came is that all of a sudden people did put up fences. And people moved from the front porch to the backyard. So you no longer saw these people, you could no longer roam freely. And that was the second thing that happened. I remember in the parsonage that we were at, when we first got there, they had this big front porch with a big swing on it and everything. You know, and you could sit out there in the evening. But then, I guess because the pastor was having eight kids, or had all these kids, they decided to make another room. And what they did was they fenced in or made another room out of the front porch. So no longer did we ever spend our time sitting on the front porch talking to the neighbors as they came by. A third thing that we remember about the community is the civic pride that people had, in which people would gather together and do things that would help improve the community. And it seemed like many, many people were involved. And, of course, the church, too. The church was the center, the gathering place for the people of God, and I have many, many great memories of that time. But now, that sense of community, that community that some of us might have grown up with, some of us never, ever have experienced, it is no longer there. And it's because of one of the great sins of the world. It is the sin we call individualism. And individualism is the leading of one's life without regard to others. So the most important thing is what I think, what I do, what I feel, and the rest of the people, you know, they come second or third along the way. And the church is not immune to this individualism that takes place. One of the ways that people sometimes approach us, in which they separate themselves from the church, is they say, well, I'm a spiritual being. I believe in I have a great spirituality, but I don't belong to the church. I want nothing to do with the church, which is full of hypocrites. And in that way, they kind of change, you know, they kind of divide what is individual, which is their spirituality, from the church, which is their community. And in the church, or in God's scheme of things, that's an oxymoron. You cannot be an individual spiritual Christian without being somehow connected to the church. Because the church is where God resides. Now, he resides elsewhere too, but the place where he invites us and we meet him is in the church. And this is where the triune God is so important, because while we may not understand everything about the triune God, one thing we know is that he is a social being. There is not just one by himself, but there is three. Now, I can't explain it, but exactly how that happens, but the Greek Orthodox has a special picture of the triune God in which the triune God is part of a dance. And it kind of winds together and here and there, and you can't ever quite tell where one stop or one begins and where one ends. But we need to understand that if we are made in the image of God, then we are made to be social beings. We are made to be a part of a community of sinners and a community of saints. That's what we are, this community that we need. If God is a social God, then it's important that we be social people. Now, you know, if he was just one God, then he'd be nothing more than a benevolent dictator. You know, that's the way we could look at him. And I'm sure he would do good things for us, and we could blame him for bad things that happened to us. If it was only the Father and the Son, well, that would be kind of like a love that we have between husbands and wives, or between boys and girls, you know, in which the two of them will always keep out the rest of us. But then comes the Spirit. And the Spirit is what makes them three in one. And the Spirit is the one then that becomes the triune God a society, a model for the human community. Now, what does this community look like? It is, first of all, a society of equals. It's a society of equals. When the Christian church first came into being, they had this amazing description of the people gathered together. In Acts 4, it says, "All believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own, but shared everything that they had." When I read that, I had to think to myself, you know, if I were in need, and I'm not, but if I were in need, who would I go to see, first of all? Well, let's see. First of all, I tried to do it myself, get out of it. Second of all, I'd go to family. Third of all, I might go to friends. But I don't know if I'd ever stand before a congregation and say, "Hey, I have this need." You know, I, as a pastor, I'm always amazed at what people keep to themselves and are not willing to share with other people. You know, but we are family. We are community. We are part of the great triune God. The second thing about this community is that it's inclusive. It is opened in today's gospel reading. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world. You know, it's not, and maybe this is why we don't spend a lot of time reaching out. But we always think it's me against them. It's me against other churches. It's me against society. But God, when he looks at us, is inclusive. In fact, he even prays for us that we will be that way. And when Jesus is going into heaven in John, he has this long prayer. And he prays for the disciples. And he prays for the people who are gathered there. But one of the also people is he prays for you and me. And he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them might be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world might know that I believe that you have sent me. Someone has said that the church should be a series of welcome mats and not a brick wall. And yet, so often we set up this brick wall around us, you know, and say, only these kind of people can enter and become part of our community. Now, there's a third thing, and that is that we also don't think about, is that it's a suffering community. You know, when Paul talks about the church, he talks about it being a body and having many parts. But when he gets to the individuals, he said the body should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I think as a pastor of 30 years, that, again, we don't recognize our responsibility to those who are around us to suffer with them, you know, to really cry with them. Sometimes we do it if somebody dies, and there's a couple of places where we might do it, but not everybody is involved in that. It is also a community of diversity. One size doesn't fit all. God gives us each gifts. Why? Not to build ourselves up. Not to make me better. You know, he gives us pastors and teachers and disciples and apostles and all of these things. But it's not for us. It's to build each other up, to be concerned about the community. And I always like the part where he says, you know, just because the arm might say, I'm not part of the body, just because, you know, the foot might say, I'm not part of the tongue or the mind or whatever, does not make you not part of the body. It might make you an attachment, but you are still part of the body. Finally, the most important thing is that it is a community of love. It's a community of love. Today in our Bible study, we saw where this teacher of the law said, well, what's the greatest commandment? And then the answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we ask the question, well, what one word sums up the commandments? Now, one word is love. Love. That's what we are. The thing that drew people to the early Christian church, according to an early historian, was see how they love one another. Now, I understand why, after spending 30 years as a pastor, I can understand why those on the outside might look at the church and say, you know, I don't know if I want to be a part of that, because I've been part of fights, I've been part of anger, I've been part of people leaving, you know, for whatever kind of reason that there might be. But, you know, love. Love is that thing that accepts you no matter who you are. Somebody has described love as being the home where you can go to and they can't kick you out. Now, obviously, actually, there are some people who do that, but for the most part, they have to accept you the way you are. God's plan for us is not dependence, but interdependence. We are to depend upon each other. One last thought, and that, you know, is something as new to this community, a Lamb of God. One of the things that I have noted is that we are friendly. You know, people are friendly. Nobody has said one bad word that I know of, unless it's behind my back, but I assume that most people are not talking behind my back. You know, Chris and I have found, what we'd like to call a home. But we have to recognize this, that because we are friendly does not mean that we are friends. You know, friends, which makes up the community, the friends are those who do care about each other, who know more than just seeing you on a Sunday morning or maybe one time during the week and saying hi and being kind to each other. That's the community. That is the community that people will look to, that want to be a part of. I can tell you, there's a lot of people out there that are alone, that are lonely. There are even people in our church that are alone and lonely. That's where the triune God comes in, when we remind ourselves that we are part of the whole body of Christ. We are the people who are the eyes and the voice. We are the real huggers, you know, that we can feel, because we are part of that community that makes up the triune God. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.